this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I shared with you last week about just how blessed we are as a congregation, Shofar Summers of the West, to be able to partner with other churches. And one of the churches that we are partnering with is Shofar Kloetersville. En dit is my groot voorreg vanoggend om 'n geleentheid te gee aan oom Petrus, wat die pastoor is daar. And we're going to do this in Afrikaans, and so if you can't follow in Afrikaans, give someone the elbow and they can translate for you. But oom Petrus is doing an incredible work in Kloetersville, and I've asked him just to come and share a little bit about what is the impact the gospel is having in Kloetersville, what are some of the challenges. Because we're looking at our lives and we're looking at the lives of the people that the Lord has connected us with, and we're asking, okay, God, what are you putting in our hands and what can we do to make a difference? And so we're so blessed, oom Petrus, to be able to partner with you, to support you. And so we're looking forward to the feedback. And then I've also asked him to bring along Francois, who's got an amazing testimony. So oom Petrus, as oom miskien gou kan kom en net 'n bietjie met ons kan deel oor hoe dit gaan met die gemeente en wat van die uitdagings is. En oom Petrus en tannie Belinda, hulle het gemeente gehad in Springbok, en my pa het 'n gemeente gehad jare terug in Garries. So ons was eintlik maar bure gewees, en dit is baie lekker om Petrus te leer ken, beter te leer ken. Is 'n ongelooflike man van God en integriteit en ongelooflike geloof. En ek het 'n baie maklike werk en hier waar ek bedien, en elke gemeente het maar sy uitdagings ook, maar ek haal my hoed af. As ek hom gehad het, dan sou hy afgewees het. Vir oom Petrus, en altyd 'n glimlag, altyd vreugdevol en joyous. En ek het so 'n paar weke terug gaan bedien in Kloetersville, and it's just amazing to see the joy of the Lord. I sent a picture to our sound team to challenge them that the way the guys do sound there is like if you were in a disco, mixing the sound, going there and having so much fun. And so you said it's game on. You took up the challenge. I haven't seen any action yet, but watch that space at the back. So oom Petrus, oor aan oom.
Baie dankie, Hendrik. Goeiemôre gemeente. Ek wil nou nie baie agtergrond oor myself gee nie, daar sal ek 'n ander dag kom gee. Maar net vinnig, ek is iemand wat nie maklik emosies toon nie. Ek sien vanmôre ook, jy is ook in daai selfde kategorie as ek. Maar daar's een ding waar ek maklik emosies toon, en dit is oor die Here. Ek is baie excited oor die Here. Amen. Want wanneer ek na God kyk, dan is hy so amazing vir wat hy doen en hoe hy mense betrek en hoe dat hy mense verander. So ek is eintlik baie excited oor die Here. Oor God, want hy is tot alles in staat. Amen. Alles is by hom moontlik. Nou, die Here het ons gelei na Shofar Kloetersville, of om daar liewer in Kloetersville 'n kerk te plant. 2010 Augustus maand het ons daar begin met 4 mense. En ons is omtrent 'n bietjie ouer, julle is bietjie ouer as ons. Ek dink sommer dit wens as ek nou al 6 jaar en so. Maar dit was so wonderlik om te sien hoe dat die Here nou begin om mense te red. Want dit is 'n gemeenskap wat 'n ander wêreld is. As jy uit hierdie deel van Somerset West kom, of as jy uit Stellenbosch gemeenskap uitkom en Kloetersville in, dan is dit 'n groot eye-opener om te sien waar hierdie mense werklik is. Soos ons het intens gehad wat per 10 dae daar kom werk het, en laas maandag toe vra ons net, hoe het julle dit ervaar? Toe sê die een, dis 2 verskillende wêrelde. So Shofar Kloetersville het 2 gemeenskappe. Dit is die mense wat nou 'n rustiger lewe het, en dan die mense in 1 gedeelde gemeenskap wat 'n kultuur het van bendes, smokkelhuise, dwelms, armoede, werkloosheid. Dit gaan regtig sleg. Maar hulle het dit al so aanvaar, dis 'n kultuur. Maar die Here het ons daarin gestuur. Dis die gemeenskap waar ons in werk. Ek en my vrou is ook nie gewoond aan sulke leefstyl nie, maar ons moes dit aanvaar, en dis regtig 'n challenge. Maar weet jy al wat, die Here het my gewys, dis wat vir ons kinders van die Here is, om challenges te aanvaar. en om te penetreer daar waar die duisternis is, om regtig deur te druk en in te gaan en 'n verskil te maak. Dis waarom ons hier lig is. Sien julle hier 'n mooi lig? Dit dryf die duisternis uit en dis waar God ons wil hê, in die duister plekke om lig te bring. En dit is wat ons in Kloetes wil doen. Ons gee nie om hoe rof dit is nie. Ons gee nie om hoe ver die mense van die Here af is nie. Ons is die antwoord. Amen. Ons het die antwoord en Jesus is die antwoord en die kerk is die antwoord. Ons is nie deel van die probleem nie, ons is die antwoord. Amen. Nou, die Here is so kragtig besig om te werk, want ek sê vir die mense, luister, elke mens se hand wat ek vat, gaan verander. Ek groet graag mense. Want ek sê vir die mense, wanneer ek in die gemeenskap instap, gaan die Here mense verander. Dis waarom ek daar is. Anders moet die Here my baie gou daar wegvat, as daar die veranderinge kom nie. En mense het begin verander. Mense is nog steeds besig om te verander, want God gryp kragtig in. En jy weet, my vrou het 'n dinsdag, 'n vroue bediening. En dis nou inderkerklik, en baie vrouens kom daar, hulle geniet koffie en toebroodjies na die diens. En baie mense kom vir die toebroodjies en die koffie, of soms deel my vrou kos uit en so. Maar weet jy, as hulle eers onder die woord kom sit en saam prys en worship, dan begin hulle harte oop te gaan. En baie vrouens het daar tot bekering gekom. Binne dien wat hier sit, sal nou nie vanmorgen getuienis gee nie, maar sy het daar met die Here begin connect. Frans was daar vanmorgen getuig. En haar lewe het radikaal verander. Sy was so 'n skraal meisiekie toe sy daar kom. Toe sy die eerste keer 3 jaar gelede die kerk besoek. Sy het TB gehad, sy was siek. Maar God het daar radikaal verander. En sy is vanmorgen hier 'n lewende getuie wat God kan doen. So een van die dinge wat ons optel in Kloetes wel is vaderloosheid. Kinders het nie vaders nie. Mense is stikkend, gebroke lewens. Mense voel verwerp. Mense het nie hoop nie. Maar weet jy, as hulle met die Here connect, dan maak God hulle heel. Die Here bring restaurasie. Die Here lig hulle uit armoede uit. En die Here kom doen dit in 'n volkomme werk. Al wat ons ervaar, ons moet 'n lang pad met mense loop. Dis nie soos 'n beskaafde mens wat 'n werk het, wat 'n goeie lewe het, en hy tot bekering kom, en dis binne 'n maand, dan is die man en of die vrou regtig aktief vir die Here. Hierdie mense is so stikkend, en ons loop tot 'n jaar of langer 'n pad met hulle. Ons het nou iemand in die rehab, in Kraaifontein, Lofdal Rehab Center. Laas jaar tot bekering gekom, diep ook in Mendrex en so aan, al groot man, ek dink hy is 53, en weet jy wat, sy lewe is so stikkend, en ons het net gevoel, ons wil hom wegstuur na plekke waar hy rustig kan wees, want hy het nie bly plek nie, hy swerf maar hier en daar, hy het 'n ou vrou gehad, en die vrou het eerst tot bekering gekom, en toe moet hy mis nou uit, en toe kom hy ook tot bekering, maar omdat hy nou nie bly plek het, en sy lewe so stikkend is, toe stuur ons hom rehab toe, so ons as kerk moet vir hom betaal, want hy het nie geld om vir hom te betaal nie. En ons vertrou die Here eindelijk vir die befondsing om vir hom te betaal. Maar hy weet, hy moet vir 3 tot 6 maande daar bly, en dit is so wonderlik om te sien sy gewilligheid om te gaan. Maandag toe vat ek 'n ander dametjie, verlede week maandag, House of Hope toe na Woester toe, ook iemand wat sy lewe stikkend is. House of Hope bied 'n veilige plek vir vrouens, en waar hulle baie vrouens sy lewe belê. November maand, laas jaar, toe vat ons iemand na Rehab Center toe in Vredenburg, Zellie Houg, en die weet, haar lewe was so stikkend, sy 3 kinders, en diep in die tik, haar boyfriend is in tik, haar ma drink, dit is net chaos in daar huis, kindertjies is bewaarloos, maar sy kom toe tot bekering, en die Here verlos haar, van dwelms, maar om haar lewe so stikkend is, so stuur ons na rehab toe, en is baie duurder as hierdie ander rehabs, maar ons vertrou die Here vir borge, en hy weet, ons kon R9000 vir die 3 maande betaal, wat sy daar was, God het voorsien, wonderlik voorsien, sy is terug, kom toe terug, ons gaan haal haar weer, weet ek en my vrou, doen maar al die rye, ons vat hulle weg, en ons gaan haal hulle, en ons ondersteun hulle, dis waar ons diep betrokke raak, in die mense lewe, en soms stuur ons van die lidmaat, om dit te doen, maar ons stuur haar toe weer net, nadat sy vir 1 week by die huis is, vat ons haar House of Hope toe, om net nog die Here program te gaan, en vir 1 maand, en 2 weke is sy daar, en sy kom huis toe, maar is net om te bemoedig om te sien hoe straal sy vir die Here. En sy het 'n getuienis en God het totaal vrygemaak en herstel. Van 'n laas swak selfbeeld het God haar uitgelig dat sy met vrymoedigheid voor mense kan getuig wat God vir haar gedoen het. En sy was ook net so skraal daar met jy tik, maak jy, jy eet mos nie baie, jy word heeltemaal verniel, maar sy het nou so'n mooi gewig opgesit, sy is 'n ander mens, sy het verlede week getuig in die kerk, toe is daar een klompie kinders in die kerk, en toe sê hulle, is dit daai vrou wat so maar was? Hulle ken haar omdrein die nou so het sy gewig aangesit, en God het daar net wonderlik verander, ek prys die Here, vir magtige dinge wat hy doen, amen. So op die oomblik, is daar nog mense met wie ons werk, maar die Here herstel mense dat hulle regtig betrokke raak. Nou, François kan nou voorkom, hulle is getroud. Hulle het vir 7 jaar saam gebly. Hulle het 'n kind, Malen, en toe kom sy eerste tot bekering, toe sy nog in die gevangenis. En toe hy uitkom, toe kom hy nou na huis toe, waar die vrou nog nie meer die ou lewe wil hê nie. En so het hy 'n paar maande aangegaan, en hy gaan ons sy getuienis verder gee, François.
Amen. Ja, goeiemôre, ek groet net allemaal in die lieflike naam van Koning Jesus, ons redder en zaligmaker. Ja, ek wil net een kort gedeelte van my getuienis vir julle gee. My naam is François, pastoor nog gesê het. Ja, ek het in een huis groot geword waar my ma en my stiefpa elke dag dronk gewees het, so daar was eintlik nooit genoeg op die tafel en kos vir ons om van te lewe nie, so ja, en ek het ook die skool gegaan nie, ek het elke oggend my suster tot by die skoolierpatrolie geneem en na van haar weer omgedraai, huis toe gegaan, ek het slaap ek verder, maar een oggend ek neem aan toe weer so na die skoolierpatrolie toe en meneer Samuels is nou die hoof daar by Kloetersville Laerskool. Hy vraag toe vir my, meneer, ek sien, is eindelijk goed van jou om elke oog in jou sister school toe te bring, maar wanneer kon jy jy slag school toe? Ek wil, denk nog, ek was koning uit om te wat ja, maar toe sê my, okay, kom morgen met die schoolkleren aan, en een rugzak, dan kom jy morgen, ek sal het daar vanaan afvat. Ja, en daar vanaan weet ek toe, tot hy met staan het af school gegaan, maar dat was ek vir my makkelijk om tot daar uit te kom, he. Want, soos ek julle nou al reeds gesê het, my ma en my stiefpa is elke dag dronk en is bekleierie en skellerie en daar is nooit genoeg vir ons om te eet. So ek het myself op die pad bevind en so het ek saam met gangsters beginne opkoppel en so aan te. En een van my vriende, sy ouers het gesmokkel en ek het gesien, is altyd lekker daar en toe denk ek, oké, okay, ek gaan maar daar na hulle toe trek, en daar het ek ingetrek, en ek het verder haar school gegaan, maar soos ek school gaan, in die marras, moet ek elke dag kom mandraks wil koop, en dagga wil koop, dat was nou eindelijk my deel, my bijdra wat ek nog gebring het daar by hulle, en ja, maar hulle het my eindelijk ook so gebruik, en ek het nooit die tijd besef, he. Ja, en, maar ek het aangegaan daar, en, so met standaard 8 toe dink ek, oké, okay, ek is nou moeg dat julle my so gebruik, en ek gaan my nou weer terugtrek na my male toe. Ja, ek het weer teruggetrek, en op 18, ek en nog ander 7 manne toe beland is in die tronk, oor een misdaad wat is gepleeg het, ons het toe een dametje verkracht, een gang, ryp wat ons gedoen het, en ons moes eindelijk allemaal tronk toe gaan op die saak, maar die Here was so goed vir ons gewees, en daar het niks van die saak gebeur, want ons het een geweldige invloed gehad op die gemeenskap waar ons geblei het, want ons het eindelijk vir hulle so te sê, ons het daar geregeer in die omgeving waar ons geblei het, en ons het so gebewerkstellig dat sy nie by die hof moet opdaag, anders sal ons allemaal tronk toe gaan op daardie dag. Ja, en my ma gaat te dood, en ek het toen nie een werkie, en hoekom al werk wat ek ken, is om te smokkel, en om mense te rob, en ja, om mense seer te maak, dis wat al wat ek geken het van werk. Ja, en ek gaat keer een keer in die eerste rivier, een nabie gaan kyk in die eerste rivier, by neefies van my, en hulle sê toe vir my, hulle vertel my van die plek in die peril, Dis 'n placement agency wat mense oprig om sekuriteitsbeamptes te wees. En ek doen toe 'n kursus, 'n sekuriteitskursus daar by hulle en ek gaan bly in die Eelsrivier by my auntie omdat dit nou nader aan Pero is. So my uitgawes is eintlik minder op die travelling. En ek doen toe klaar die sekuriteitskursus en hulle kry my toe maar so dadelike werk na ek klaar is met my opleiding. En ek gaan bly in die Eelsrivier en een ding wat ek toe begin doen daar is ek het toe self begin val in die struik in die ding in die mandraks wat ek aan ander mense verkoop het aan 'n tyd ek het toe self begin val daarin want dit was my baie maklik gewees om in die hande te kry want een van my tannie se boyfriends, hulle is ook nog getroud, het ook mandraks verkoop en wyn gesmokkel en dagga verkoop. So dit was my eintlik baie maklik om in die hande te kry. Ek gee my klein neefietjie gee ek R20 en hy bring vir my so 5 of 3 mandrak tablette wat eintlik baie duur is. So het ek dit in die hande gekry en een ding wat ek toe begin het doen het daar, ek het baie naskoop gewerk en so deur die dag as ek baie vervelig by die huis want ek slaap my heel nag happy werk want sekuriteit werk is baie vervelig in 'n sin van jy doen eintlik baie min daar so. Ja en jy eintlik kyk na die mense premises maar jy kyk jy eintlik baie nie, jy loop op patrollies maar jy raak baie gou vervelig. So ek raak sommer nie slaap van vervelingheid. So in die oggend as ek by die huis kom ek nou begin rook. Dan het ek my so gerook in 'n trance in dat ek die maras is my suster my kom probeer wakker maak, kan sy my nie wakker kry nie. Sy skud my so en sê Frans, moet opstaan, is tyd om te gaan werk. As ek ja, ek gaan nou opstaan. Maar ja, ek mis jou so dwing agterna, nie mis jou dwing om uit die trance uit wakker te skrik. En ja, ek het so aangegaan vir meer as 'n jaar of 2 jaar het ek so aangegaan gewerk en drugs gerook. Ek was in 'n goeie verhouding en ek het alles afgeskeep. Ek het my verhoudings afgeskeep, ek het my werk afgeskeep. My familie is al raad op en moedeloos saam met my want hulle my geprobeer jaap, maar ek wil nie gejaap wees nie want ek is toe eie wys en okay, ek verdien my eie geld. Ek dink toe ek het nie vir hulle nodig nie. En hulle sit my toe uit die huis uit en nou is ek op die straat, ek werk ja, maar ek het nie inkome nie en ek besluit toe, okay, jylle is nou so bemakerig oor jylle plek, ek gaan ook nie oor jylle worry nie, ek gaan my nou weer trek Stellenbosch toe, so ek trek toe Stellenbosch toe en ek het eindelijk die familie daar nie, maar ek gaan toe na een van die tannies toe by wees toe geblij daar in Stellenbosch en ek bly toe haar by haar en ek sê, tannie en ek is nou weer terug om hier te bly en ja, sy na man is toe haar omtou nie, en ek sê, ja, ek is nou weer terug om hier te bly, en ek gaan nou verder werk hier. Hulle is so baie bly om my te sien, maar hulle weet ook nie met die probleem wat ek my sit hier, die verslaving wat ek in toe beval het hier. Ek kry my toe weer dadelik aan die sekuriteit werk, want jy kan vandag uit die sekuriteit werk in, uitloop, en loop jy morgen in die ander sekuriteit werk in. Ja, as jy nou goeie referense het, so ek het baie goeie referense gehad, want ek het nooit gesteel op die werkie, of laat by die werk aangekom, of uitgeblei by die werkie, en dis iets wat die sekuriteit, of waarna sekuriteit companies aan en na kyk. So ja, ek het toe die werk gehad, en ek begin toe weer met my ou gangster vriende op te koppel, en weer saam hulle rond te hang, en so aan te, en ja, en die tannie begin ook so, hulle is baie oud, hulle is al hier in die 60's en so, hulle het nie nog tyd vir 'n mannetjie wat jong is, ek is nog baie jong uit tyd en ek is nog baie energiek en hulle het die tyd om nog met 'n mannetjie ek te sikkel, so hulle sê, Frans, wat jy maar nou besluit, ons wat eindelijk die huis op jou gebemaak het, maar ons sien nou nie, jy het die grond op voet om op te staan en so jy maar uit, jy was te veel grys haar en ons het al reeds ook grys haar, so ja, ek gaan bly toe weer by die mense vir wie ek so alle jare toe gesmokkel het en sjo, daar val ek toe weer in hierdie struik en so ek moet nou werk en dwelms verkoop as ek nou af is en so aan te en ok, dis ook vir my, want ek gee eindelijk die geld uit vir dwelms, want ek kry nou sommer by hulle, want hulle moet nou vir my gee. Somdag het ek, as ek nou moet gaan werk, ek weet nou vanaan moet ek gaan werk, 6 uur moet ek al op die site is, dan bevind ek my in die Strandfontein, daar by een van die groot dwelmhandelaarse huise, nou daar bevind ek vir my, want ek moet nou hier een groot bestelling nou kry, en het terugbring Stellenbosch toe, so ek was maar die koerier ook gewees vir hulle, so ja, dan rook ek my so deur die dag op dronk daar so en nou vanaand as ek nou om na huis toe kom, dan sikkel ek nou om vervoer en ek nou so maar een taxi vat uit die Mensesplein uit daar vanaand af tot in Eerste Rivier en in Eerste Rivier trein tot in Stellenbosch. So dit is nie makkelijk om dit te doen nie. As ek nou die trein 7 uur verloor, dan weet ek nie hoe gaan ek by die huis kom. En die tijd was het die cellfone nog nie so bekend gewees. So ek kan nie vir hulle bel, so ek maar begin het draf daar vanaand af. Ja, en so het ek toe my werk verloor en ek begin ook die mense te haat. En ek sê, ja, ek het so baie vir julle gedoen en julle my so gemisbruik en so aan te. En ek het blij toe abe Benedien, my vrou sy stiefpa en haar ma. So ek en haar stiefpa het ook een goeie verhouding gehad. En hoekom hy en my stiefpa was weer goeie buddies gewees en hulle was drinkersvriende gewees. En my ma en haar ma was ook baie goeie vriende. So, sy naam is ook oom Petrus en so het ek saam oom Petrus maar begin as karrel. Offers, ways en skrip en sikke goede. Ons maar as karrel met wijnkies en so aan te. En dit was wel my fun gewees op een vinnige manier om geld te maak. Want ek was gewoond aan geld en so aan te. So ek saam met oom Petrus as karrel dat ek had maar my oor rondgegooi. Waar ek vanavond of morgen ook om vroeg iets kan kom gaps, vir my nou vir iets. Ja, want eindelijk in sekuriteit het ek het eindelijk my sekuriteit opleiding gemisbruik die tyd wat ek begin as karrel het, want jy is baie ingestel op observasie, en dis ook een ding wat jy in sekuriteit leer, en so het ek maar baie keer gesien, as die mense wat in pos af is, het ek maar nog gekom en hulle goed gekom vat. Ja, en dit het nou eindelijk vir my gedryf na misdaad toe, en so het ek in die tronk gebeland weer. En oom Petrus is my altyd hof toe gekom, en borg gestaan haar vir my, en so het hy my weer huis toe gevat, en met die tyd het hy ook toe dood gegaan, maar ek bevind my toe weer in die tronk, en ek, daar in die tronk is die ander wereld, as wat ons die buiten ken. Jo, ek sal niemand aanraai om daar te beland een dag, want het is nou redig waar in jou maas huis, en jy kan nie eet daar, so jy wil nie. Jy eet met my maaltuie wat die regering vir jou gee. So daar het ek my maar bevind, ek weet, is in ander mense, en hier moet ek aanpas, en is daar is nou van Franse en in Dota's, en is nou eindelijk baie meer die Kosa of die Zulu traditie ken, sal jy nou baie nou weet waarvan ek praat, want is jy maar Dota is dat jou grootman by die Kosa en die Zulu mense. So daar het ek maar vir my aangesluit by die tronkbende, 26 tronkbende, en ja, en nou het ek gevoel, oké, ek is ook nou een groot man, en in die sin van, maar toe ek buiten kom, toe was binnen die nou reeds, en heb ek klaarmaak om nou sienkie maal, en hy is nou 8 jaar oud, so dit is nou al een hele tyd terug, en ek was nooit daar vir haar of vir maal nie, want ek het ook nooit liefde gewoon vang by my ouwe, so ek ken nie van een pa nie, so ek weet nie hoe om een vaderlijke liefde terug te gee, die tyd nie. En ja, soos Malen ook groot geraak het, was ek nooit daar nie, ek was tronk in en tronk uit, want ek het nou licens gehad, nou om dinge te doen, verkeerde dinge te doen eindelijk, en by die tronk was het soos my huis gewees, as ek daar kom, dan kom ek by weer my een groot familie nou, en al ken mense nie van my nie, net dier die nommer wat ek dra, en mense my gerespekteer en so, en so ja, so dit het so aangegaan, tot en met so 2 jaar terug, of 3 jaar terug, het Benedien en Malen baie siek geraak, met TB, en ek prijs die Here, dat ek ook nooit siek geraak het, want ek was ook toe weg om vir die TB-skening te gaan, maar ek was toe nie, of ek het toe nie die kiem opgeteel nie. So ja, ek bevind my toe weer in die tronk, het is nou my laatste keer dat ek myself in die tronk bevind, en ek is toe in die Ellendale, gevangenis in die Perel, en daar ontmoet ek ook so aan een goeie vriend, en hy was ook bekeer gewees, sy naam is Jaris, en hy is ook af van Perel, en hy het my baie geïnspireerd daar so, en so, en met die mense ook wat kom, vir ons kom bemoedig het, die kerkmense wat altyd kom kerkhoud by die tronk, het een van hierdie pastore ook baie goed getuig oor hierdie mannetjie wat nou saam met my in een sel is, en hy sê, hierdie was een baie groot man van God gewees, En hy het klomp mense na die Here toe gelei, maar kyk waar sit hy vandag weer. Want hy het sy rug gedraai op die Here en so het hy met my gepraat en daar in die tronk, omdat ek nou nie besoeke gekry het en so nie, het ek met saam ander mense ook gekoppel, ander 26 broers en hulle het goede geontvang by die besoeke by die tronk, soos dwelms en goed. En ek moes dit maar net daar gedaal het en teruggebring het sê al toe, so dis die ene iets zwaarie, want ek kan daar uitkom en weer terug sê al toe, so dis tik en dagge gewees wat ek baie kere daar het optel het en weer sê al toe gebring het. So het ek ook nou van my sê van die lewe gehou in die tronk. Maar ja, ek kom so toe uit, die 21ste, 22ste mei kom ek uit, dis nou 2 jaar terug, uit Elendijn gevangenis en hier kom ek terug en Benedien is nou bekeer en die hele huis is nou verander en ek is nou in 'n ander atmosfeer hier by die huis en ek weet nou nie hoe ek aanpas hier nie. So ja, ek gaan maar nog aan met my dinge. Die eerste dag, ja maar die eerste dag wat ek uitkom, kry ek van Tannie Belinda, pastoor Peter is 'n vrou, kry ek daar en nog 'n ander Tannie en hulle kom bemoedigs toe by Benedien. En sy sê toe by my, Frans, hoe het jy in jou les geleer en jy het nog 'n besluit wat jy wil doen met jou lewe? Maar die Here is lief vir jou, sê sy vir my. Ek sê toe, ja, Tannie, ja, ek ja ook net vir alles. Ek gaan toe aan met my dinge en ja, ek sê, elke dag kom ek gedrak huis toe en ek het nooit gehad om eindelijk kos op self op die tafel te sit. Ek koop maar droë brood en so 'n klein pakkie suiker koop ek, ons maar 'n droë brood en tee drink vanaand of eet. Ja, en so gaan ek maar aan, so vir 2-3 maande gaan ek so aan en een maandag aan, toe soek ek vir Benedien, lekker dik bedwelm, gemandraks nou, en ek soek nou vir haar, want die huis is toegesluit, ek was daar nou voor die toedeer, en ek was baie kort van draad, en ek het ook nie geduld gehad, want ek moet nou vir haar loop, op en af soek nou, vir die huis te sluit, en ek ga toe na die nasorggroep toe, wat hulle het, daar achter by die saakie, waar is goede aanbied, vir mense en funksies hou, in die kloeters wel, en dis nou een nasorggroep vir haar, vir mense wat het, terwijl aan verslaving uitkom, en het tik verslaving, enige soort van verslavings, en ek staan so aan die deur, en ek hou so die mense dop wat hier binnen staan, ek is eindelijk bang om in te gaan, want ek wil hierdie goed te hoor, wat hulle nou praat, he. En ja, ek en my sienkie, ons gaat toe haar aan, en ek sê, okay, naand, allemaal, en ek is eindelijk net hier om die sleutel te kry, maar ek gaan net so'n tykie sit hier by julle, en luister maar waar we julle praat. Ja, en so ek toe haar sit, so begin die Here ook aan my te werk, en die Gees van die Here werk ook so aan my, want met die einde toe van hierdie sessie toe van hulle toe, voel ek net so, wow, ek gaan my hart ook vir die Here gee, want kyk net hoe goeie werk het die Here toe en hierdie jong dames sy lewens kom doen het en so, en prys die Here daarin aangee ek toe my hart vir die Here, en so 2 jaar terug, en ja, nou begin ek die pad met die Here te loop, ek sal wel sê, dit was nie makkelijk nie, maar dit was die moeite werd, want die Here my kom voorkome, red van dwelms, en hierdie jaar, nou die 22ste mei, as ek nou vir die eerste keer 2 jaar uit die tronk het, en dis my een baie groot mijlpaal, ja, ja, en die Here het ons ook vir my nou, en vir Benediening nou, kom bind in die huwelik. Ja, en ons is nou hierdie die 13e van hierdie jaar, ons is nou 1 jaar getrouwd. Ja, en ons verwacht nou nog 1 keer om aan te sluit by ons familie, prys die Here. Maar ek wil net al die lof en die eer aan die Here gee, want as hy wat saam met my die pad geloop het, en my pastoor wat my geïnspireer het, want ek wil toe, 'n ander broer wat ook, wat sy neef ook 'n pastoor is by Lofdal, rehabilitatiecentrum, wat my toe daan toe gestuur het, en was nog so tye wat ek weet teruggeval het in die draksin, en pastoor Petrus het my baie geïnspireer, en hy het my gementoor ook, en hy het my gesê, eindelijk Frans, jy hoef nie na rehabilitatie toe te gaan nie, want die Here is met jou, en die Here is daar vir jou, jy moet net vir jou na die Here toe wend, en hy sal vir jou uit jou waar hy is, so ek prys die Here, en ek sê, baie dankie vir pastoor Petrus ook, wat hy vir my gebeteken het, ja, en daarmee sluit ek af. Amen.
Halleluja. Dankie François. En oom Petrus, en Benedien, en Malin, en ek weet, Malin het ook vir jou op een stadium gesê, Madera, wanneer gaan jy nou ophou met die goed, ne? Ja, en so die Here klein Malen ook gebruik om sy pa se lewe in te spreek. En ja, verlede jaar iewers sê my pa toe vir my van hierdie amazing ou in Pastoor Petrus se gemeente wat hy gaan trou. So my pa het die voorreg gehad om Petrus en Benedien te trou. En nou is hy deel van die leiers daar by Pastoor Petrus en hy was hier ons verlede jaar net vir die leierskapsontwikkeling wat ons hier gehad het. En net so incredible. Jesus het gesê, hy kom nie vir die wat vir die wat gesond is nie, maar vir die wat siek is. En ek weet, dis die Jesus wat in ons leef. And I know that's the Christ that lives in us. And that's the good news that we have received, that Jesus saves. Amen? That he saves to the uttermost. And I know that we have received much from God. And I know God has called us to extend his kingdom. And I know that the next level that God is wanting to take us to is to once again just come back to that place of surrender to the cross and to the reality of who Jesus is in our lives. And I just want to take 10 minutes and very quickly want to continue with this conversation. If you can put up the PowerPoint for me. It's okay, I'm going to run it off my phone. And just that first slide there, a quick, if I do an admin thing, it will help me just to compose myself, okay? So a quick announcement, which is more than just an announcement. You know about the conversations that's taking place on our campuses. Right? We're talking about conversations. And what we know is that these conversations are taking place right across our country. And these conversations are having an impact upon our nation where students are having to deal with, what do I do with the anger that's in my heart? What do I do with all of this rage? And we see that these students are struggling to have that conversation. And they're giving vent to all of their pain and all of that anger. And guess what? The reason why they are giving expression to that pain is because we as the church have failed them, if we're honest. We haven't taught them. We haven't engaged with them. How do you deal with all the stuff that you have in your heart? And now there are other agendas that are coming in. And I think it's probably the easiest thing in the world to judge and to say, stop the burning, stop the looting, which of course needs to happen. But guess what? That is not going to happen unless there's an internal change. It's not going to happen unless someone walks a road with them and allows the love of Christ to enter into their hearts to break free from the cycle. And so we're so privileged that Angus has agreed to partner with us to take the gospel into the campuses. And what's happening now all across South Africa, campuses, universities are afraid to even be seen as Christians. So they're closing the doors everywhere for Christian meetings to be held. Wherever there's a Christian meeting, many of the political parties, organizations at the campuses are organizing riots and things against those meetings. But the Lord has given us great favor, and we've got open doors at UJ, UCT, Tux, Porch, Coffsies, and Marty's. Amen. Where the Lord has given us tremendous favor. And Angus has agreed to be part of this. So we're going to blitz our campuses during the month of April and May. We're going to take the gospel there. Amen. And we're going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to break down strongholds. We're going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to bring healing to the broken hearts. We're going to trust Christ to raise up a generation of young people that are going to take this country for the Lord. They are the Joshua generation that the devil is trying to take out, but they belong to the kingdom of God. And so we're going to contend for them. The 4th of May, it's going to be in Stellenbosch. Angus is going to be there. We need volunteers, all right? We need ushers, parking attendants, people to pray. And so if you want to volunteer, please send me an email, and I'll send your details through to see us. But the 4th of May, we'll be in Stellenbosch. We're trusting God for the DF Milan. But whichever venue we can use. But 4th of May, we're definitely on for that. All right, and so this is part of a larger conversation. We can go to the next slide, which I'm calling cross conversations. Right, and the question is, how do we as followers of the cross live out the message within our particular context, time and space? How do we live this out? How do we live out the message of the cross? How do we live out the gospel, the good news that Jesus has given us? How do we not bottle it in, keep it inside, limit it to the four walls of this church? But how do we live it out in such a way that the people around us can hear the message? Because what is the point of having good news but never proclaiming it? And what is the point of proclaiming it in such a way that people don't hear it and don't understand it? And that's the conversation I believe the Lord is wanting us to have with one another. To have it in our small groups, to have it in our homes. What does it mean for us as a family to be a Christian family? And we challenged one another to say, let's break free from the shackles of the definitions that we have placed upon Christianity and what it means to be a Christian. And the early believers were called followers of the way of the cross, followers of the way of dying to ourselves and taking up cross or Jesus' message, Jesus' mandate for us. Right? And so these are the two questions. What is the gospel? How do we communicate it to the hearts of people around us today? We've got the message, we've got the good news, but we're living in a particular context, a particular time, a particular space here in Somerset West in the Yaldabaoth Basin. And then we've got to understand what is this culture like and how can we both connect to our culture and challenge it in our communication. I love what Pastor Fred said in this week. He said that mostly we preach the gospel, but always we are living the gospel. Right? Mostly we preach the gospel, but always we are living the gospel. So we are always communicating it. The reality is simply this. We are either good communicators of the gospel or bad communicators of the gospel. We're either good communicators of the gospel. In other words, we communicate the message of the cross in a way that people can hear and understand, or we actually add to the confusion out there as to who Christ is. And I believe God has called us to blow the shofar clearly and to have people hear what is this gospel talking about. And so as Francois has shared, I quickly want to read this quote for you from D.A. Carson, right? And he said, because the gospel is news. It's not good advice, it's good news. Because the gospel is news, good news, it needs to be announced. And I think sometimes we forget that about the gospel. The gospel is news, and news is only news if it is announced, if it is proclaimed, right? That is what one does with news. The core message is not a code of ethics to be debated, still less of aphorisms to be admired and pondered, and certainly not a systematic theology to be outlined and schematized. Though it properly grounds ethics, aphorisms, and systematics, it is none of these three. It is news, good news, and therefore must be publicly announced. It must be publicly announced. It must be announced in the schools. It must be announced in the business places. It must be announced in the homes. This is where we announce it from, yes, but it needs to go so much further than just the pulpit, so much further than just the four walls of this church. And so what is the good news? And we started talking about our culture. We started looking at the different demographics, and we started looking at the challenges we face. We just heard of Clutersville. And in Solaris Pass, we've got many of the same challenges. And in our town, we've got many of the same challenges as well. We've got more shebeens and alcohol outlets than we have churches in this town. We've got a lot of homes where a lot of secret things are taking place and prostitution is taking place. There's a lot of things going on in our town, in the community around us, and we need to engage with that culture. But even before we engage with the culture, it is important to understand what is it that we have? What is the gospel? What is it that we have in our hearts? And we saw it manifesting in Francois' life, the power to change. And this is it. The good news of the gospel is not that Christ has come to give you a better life. That's not the primary good news we are talking about. The primary good news is not that Christ has come to fix your marriage. The primary good news is not that Christ has come to set you free from your addictions. The primary good news is not that Christ has come to fix your bank balance and to heal your body. That is not the primary good news. The primary good news is we have been saved from the wrath of God that is our due because of our sin. That one day there will come a time when this whole earth age gets wrapped up. One day that time will come. And God will come then not as the savior of the world, but as the judge of this world. Because of the sin that mankind has committed. There's a curse upon man upon this earth. Because what does sin do? If you think of Genesis, there are four things that sin does. And I quickly want to just highlight this for us. Sin alienates us. All right? Sin separates us spiritually from God in the first place. Adam and Eve sinned. What did they do? They ran away from God. They hid from God. So whenever we commit sin, sin leads to alienation between us and God. It separates us from God. It brings in distance between us and God. Sin also alienates us psychologically from ourselves. It brings us into conflict with who we are. Adam and Eve, just after they had sinned, what did they experience? For the first time in their lives, they experienced fear and shame. Sin alienates us from ourselves, leads us into conflict. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I do want to do, that I don't do. You are in battle and conflict with yourself. Sin also alienates us socially from one another. It leads to walls going up. It leads to blame shifting. It leads to mistrust. It leads to doubting one another's motives. It leads to us judging other people. It leads to us mistrusting those around us. And sin also alienates us from nature. Now all of a sudden we've got to toil hard. All of a sudden we've got tsunamis and we've got death and we've got destruction around us. That is all the result of sin. And so because of this, there's suffering. Go to the next slide. Disease, poverty, racism, natural disasters, war. There's aging, death, divorce, orphanhood, sex trafficking, drug abuse, terrorism, political instability. And all of these things that we are confronted with and all of these things we as a church are going to engage with, all of that simply symptoms. They're symptoms on which we spend a lot of money trying to fix. They're symptoms of our alienation from God. And so the gospel is first and foremost not that we go into those areas and we try and fix those areas. That is not what the gospel primarily is. The gospel is the message that the root of all of those horizontal problems, if we look at the cross, all of those problems, suffering, disease, all of those things even that Francois spoke about. And as he spoke about those things, I know that in our hearts certain bells went off, didn't it? Of how we missed God, of how grace was given to us, where we deserve judgment, we got mercy. Of things that we did that led to destruction in our families, thoughts that we thought, actions which we took. But all of those things are on the horizontal beam, symptomatic of humanity's struggle. Sin comes and separates us. Sin comes and it leads to destruction and decay. But the root of all of those things is a vertical separation. And this is our challenge as we're going to go into this phase. And we're already doing such a lot. But I just need to hold this before us again. We will not try and focus and bring the solution on the horizontal level. If we try and do that, we will simply become good organizations, simply become good people trying to do good things. And there are many people trying to fix it. The solution is on the vertical, that there needs to be a vertical restoration between God and between man. So what's the next level? What's the next step God is holding before us as a church? Is it to step out there, get involved with Precorus, get involved with Keepware, get involved with looking after the widows and the orphans and the poor? I believe it is. But I believe first and foremost what God is calling all of us is a realignment vertically with a cross. A realignment again with God's heart. What does God feel about this world? What does God feel about our neighbors? What does God feel about the school? What does God feel about the petrol attendant? What does God feel about our president? What does God feel our alignment with him? Because this is the one thing that all of us have figured out up to now. We cannot fix ourselves. And we certainly cannot fix anybody else. We certainly cannot go into Solaris, Pass Village, or Nomzamo, or Zola, or Clutusville, and think that we can fix them. We can't. We can simply be conduits for the power of God to come and bring transformation. But then we need to do what Petrus did, and that is we need to come alongside people and say, that's not a quick fix. It's not a quick 1,000 rand here, 6,000 rand there. Let's build a little thing here. Let's build a little thing there. We will need to get our hearts engaged because the gospel comes and manifests through flesh and blood. The gospel in this town looks like you and looks like me, yielded to Christ. So let me end here, 2 Corinthians 5. Next week I'll finish off. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, a church that was steeped in divisions and factions and sexual immorality and so many challenges. And he brings them the gospel again. And we looked at that last week, how the gospel changed that community. But he writes to them out of Ephesus. And he challenges them in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So I think you might as well stop a minute now and just turn to the person next to you. And you know, when you sit there and the preacher says this, you're always like, why is he doing that? You know, just please don't do that. But I've got the mic now. One day when you have the mic, you can do it as well. And just say, good morning, ambassador. Turn to someone next to you and say, good morning, ambassador of Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ. There where you go to school, there where you go to work, there where you join the cycling club or the hiking club or the bowling club or whatever club it is, whatever you do, wherever you engage, you are an ambassador of Christ. This is why I mean, what does an ambassador do? An ambassador doesn't present himself, doesn't represent him. You're not an ambassador of Shofar. You are an ambassador of Christ. You represent Christ. And so Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church and he says, if you are an ambassador of Christ, then you need to reflect Christ's values, Christ's way of thinking, Christ's way of esteeming others, the centrality of the cross. It says, as though God were pleading through us. And I thank God that he kept on pleading with Francois. Through all of the things that he went through from the moment of his birth right up till the moment when he finally came to a place of understanding God's love, that God was pleading through many people, pleading to him, people that took him in, people that encouraged him, pleading to him, not change your life, not turn over a new leaf, not be a better citizen, not stop burning down things. I have a suspicion that very often we want God to intervene in our nation so that we can just have a better political climate. Just have a government that is not corrupt. Just have a president we can respect. That is not good enough motivation. The reason why we need to be pleading with people is so that they can come back to God. Be reconciled to God. We implore you on Christ's behalf. The amazing thing is here, Paul is speaking to Christians as well, eh? And he's saying, come back to God. Come back to the cross. You are divided amongst one another. You are judging this speaker against that speaker. You are misusing the Lord's table. They would come together, and then the rich would arrive early, and they would eat the best food and drink the best wine, and the poor would be able to come later. The rich sponsored the poor, yes, but they would keep all the best stuff for themselves. That happened in church. Why? Because that's the way that it happened in the culture around them. It was normal for the culture to do that. And Paul is saying it might be normal for the culture, but it is abnormal for the body of Christ. There's a higher set of values. Come back to the cross. And so he tells them, I want you rather to eat at home. Wait for one another, he says, when you get to the Lord's table. Wait for one another. Honor one another. Serve one another. Love one another. Why? Because that is Christ's value. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so this is the good news, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We have been reconciled to God through what Jesus has done. Nothing that we have done. And I'm just challenged by that again, to come back to that reality, to have that burn in my heart. We have the cross up there, and for the next few weeks, we're going to have it up there. And I want to encourage you to do whatever you need to do to bring the cross back into the centrality of your focus. The message of the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to intervene in my life, to save me from my sin, and there's nothing that I've done to deserve that. Nothing that I've done to make him come to me. I'm a sinner saved by his grace. And therefore, I can take this message to whoever. I'm so glad that Christ, you shared the testimony, brother, so forgive me for just going back there again. I'm so glad that Christ didn't say that a gang rapist is disqualified from his love. I'm so glad that Christ had mercy and grace in his heart and said, the cross speaks over that sin. The cross speaks over the sin of pornography that sits in this church. The cross speaks over the sin of judgment and backbiting and greed and selfishness that sits in our pews. The cross speaks over all of those things. It speaks over my inability to apologize to my wife when I know for a fact that I'm wrong, but my male ego prevents me from doing it. The cross speaks over all of those things we keep hidden in darkness and secret. The cross speaks over it. It has been done. The sacrifice, the price has been paid. And all we can do is surrender to the power of the cross. And say, God, my life, we sang this song. I want to honor this. I want to honor this great sacrifice of Christ's blood that came for people who cannot fix themselves, people who cannot reach Him. He came to reach us. And it's my prayer that we will allow the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to flow through our hearts, through all our streets, all our homes. I've got a dream that we will soon be able to buy a piece of land, a farm, where we can have a rehab center, where people can come and they can be restored, they can be equipped, they can be delivered, they can be empowered to go back into their communities and be a difference. And when Pietras don't have to send them hundreds of kilometers away, and we can do that here. I believe that God, as He called the Corinthian church, influential people, open up their homes to have churches in their homes, to have communities in their homes, that God has called this congregation to possess land and make it available to the purposes of the kingdom. Why? So the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ can come and influence and change communities. That's what I dream about. I dream about a place and places where people will come to salvation, where women and children will be healed and restored, where men and women will find hope. There's a great Savior. And there are people who once were lost, but now extend His love and His grace to the community that needs it. I want you to stand with me, and I want to pray for us. A whole lot more that I want to share with you. I'm going to, again, forward you some notes. And next week, we're going to start with Loving Your Neighbor, small group series. But loving our neighbor comes out of the place that God loved us first. So as our eyes are closed, you know the reason why we exist. It's because we are ambassadors of Christ. The reason why this church exists is because we are ambassadors of Christ. It's because God has called us this morning to plead with some of you, be reconciled to God. And this morning, that there are some of us in this room, and for many years, maybe in different ways, you have heard God's voice pleading with you. Be reconciled. Come back home. Walk away from your sin. Let it go. Accept and surrender to what I've done for you. And so every Sunday morning when we come together, I want you to know that we will make an invitation. We're in a morning like this for people to know that the price has been paid for your sin. You don't have to bear the consequences of your sin and your rebellion anymore. Jesus Christ has paid the price. But it's a price that's been paid for you that you need to accept. And you need to say, that cross is not just a cross somewhere out on a hill. It's a cross for me, for my life. And I can come back home to my daddy. And if you are here this morning, you have never accepted the message of the cross for you. Not for your family, not for your extended family, or the fact that you live in a Christian nation, or you grew up in church. But that Jesus Christ died for you so that you do not have to suffer His wrath one day when He comes back. So you don't have to spend eternity without Him. And I want to invite you this morning to come to the cross and to surrender, to wave the white flag and say, Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to You. Please forgive me for trying to live this life as if it belongs to me. I surrender. Or maybe like the Corinthian church, you need to hear this morning that you need to come back again. You've lost the centrality of the cross in your life. Your heart has become cold. And you'd want to say as well, Heinrich, this morning, I want to surrender again my life. So maybe for the first time, you want to surrender your life to Christ. Or maybe for the second time, you want to come and just say, I'm here this morning. I need to be reconciled to God. I've been trying to do this in my own strength. And I want to surrender to God's love. If that is you, while our eyes are closed, believers, and we pray, in this hall, to my left, is there anyone You say, I want to make right with God. I want to accept the price that He has paid for me. I want to walk away from my own efforts and I want to accept His offer of forgiveness. You're in the middle block. Anyone like, just slip your hand up quickly because I want to pray for you. And know that God has an appointment with you. You are here not by accident. You are not here by mistake. God has an appointment with you. He loves you and He's pleading with you through His Holy Spirit this morning. Be reconciled to me. Anyone like that? You're just in the middle block. Thank you. You can drop your hand again. And to my right, anyone here, just slip it up quickly and say, Heinrich, I want to come back to the cross. I want to come back again to what Jesus has done for me. I'm going to ask you, as saw a few hands raised, and I know that you are committing your life to the Lord again. I'm going to ask all of us if we pray this prayer of surrender, and maybe you didn't have the guts to raise it because you're a little bit ashamed. You feel, I should be a better Christian. Now I want to encourage you to make a very bold step, and after I've prayed that you would come to the front so you can walk away from that pride. That Jesus Christ died for us publicly. It's the greatest honor of our lives to be able to live for Him publicly now. Let's pray together with those who have raised their hands. Dear God, this morning I come to You and I surrender to Your love. I thank You that You loved me before I was worthy of love. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for sending Your Son to die for me so that I can live. Lord Jesus, I accept Your sacrifice as the price for my salvation. Save me, change me, renew me, and use me for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I want to pray for us as well as here in this place. There are some of us, and we just, I just saw these vaults. We've got areas in our lives that we have just locked up tightly. There are things in our hearts that we're afraid to let go of. And God says this morning, He just wants to come and whisper, just come and blow upon the doors of those vaults and have it swing open. But we need to come and we need to bring Him a heart. Some of us, we're so shocked by the hardness of our hearts. We can't remember the last time we just allowed the love of God to break our hearts. And some of us this morning, we were stirred when we listened to Francois's testimony. We were stirred when we just realized that there were dreams in our hearts that we had many years ago, and we have allowed the complications of life, we have allowed the busyness of life, we have allowed married life and careers and hobbies to just dim the cross. We're looking at a lot of things except the cross because we're afraid of the price. And I want to say to you that the Holy Spirit, even Jesus needed help going up the cross, going up the hill. And God sent Him someone that helped Him to carry that cross. And today, He has sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to carry that cross. But you have got to take it up. You have to say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me. I embrace this. And if God has spoken to you this morning and you know that there's an area in your life that you need to surrender to God, maybe there's a dream, maybe there's just a redefinition that needs to take place, or maybe you understand that there's alienation in your heart because of some sin between you and God, between you and your wife, between you and your children, between you and your family. And you need to come and say, God, I want to have my relationship restored with You. I see some of us are trying so hard to fix things, and God says, actually gave me a word, and He says to tell you, stop going to church and start being the church. Stop trying to fix things, and like Tian said, let's get back to Him. Allow Him to flood us, and then things will open up. Then things will open up. So let me pray for us and dismiss the service. Father, Brian, if you guys can just play that song, Sweetly, Sweetly Broken. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us, and thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house. Thank You, God, for the gospel that You've given us, the gospel that saves. Thank You for stirring our faith again this morning. again, God, to know that your gospel saves, that it's the message of cross, the cross that saves, that isn't into just rehabilitating us, God, isn't just into giving us a nice suit or causing us now to sing different songs or causing us, instead of going cycling, coming to church and just gives us new habits, but it comes to change us from the inside out. It gives us a new life and it just cannot be contained, God. Thank you, Lord, for stirring the fountains, the wells of our salvation in this church. Thank you, Lord, for stirring our hearts and for breaking free. Thank you, Lord God, for an outpouring of the wells of salvation, the streams of salvation, Lord God, through all of our streets, right throughout this entire Yaldabaoth Basin, Lord God, and our nation and into Africa. You gave us a word many years ago that you have called us, Lord God, to fund the gospel. You've called this church, Lord God, to fund the gospel, the spreading of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ saves. He's mighty to save, and I thank you for how you are doing that in our midst. Thank you for how you are raising up the hearts of people to go, not just to give money, but to go, Lord God, to go locally and to go globally. Oh, Lord, thank you for giving us the honor to live for you. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Be blessed, ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing the song, and as we're singing it, you need to surrender. There's an area of your heart you need to bring to God. Please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Those of you who need to collect your kids, please remember to do that. And next week when we come together, I want to ask you, let's arrive promptly. Let's arrive at time so that we can worship God together. If you need to sign in your kids before the service, try and do that before. Arrive maybe 1:45 or 1:40 so they can also get started on time where they're busy. Lord bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Let's worship Him one more time. And if you need to go, please just slip out quietly. And you can have a conversation in the foyer, but let's not do that here in the hall. Thank you so much. Thanks. Thanks, band.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.